I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
What's up, War Report family? It's your boy, C-Dub. Keandre Lambert-Smith chooses Auburn over Texas A&M. We will discuss that pickup, his stats last year, and what does this mean for the wide receiver room and more in tonight's edition of the Midweek Report.
You're listening to the Auburn Express. Powered by
the War Report.
All aboard the AM departure from platform 334, the Auburn Express. We're running on time and expecting no hiccups, doing the work, hard work, to bring you the best Auburn sports content you'll find anywhere.
Well, let's get into it. People are already chatting us, commenting, excited about this pickup. Mike G, what are your thoughts on this most recent pickup? It was announced maybe about a couple of hours ago now that Keandre Lambert-Smith commits to Auburn. He was scheduled to visit USC this upcoming weekend, but he has gone and made it official. He will be an Auburn Tiger come fall. Your instant reaction.
Yeah, look, Caesar, Auburn lost their leader in receptions in that room in Jay Fair, right? And they went out and they got a guy who led Penn State in receptions and yards.
No.
Javaris Johnson had
You said receptions.
Yeah. He led in yards, right? Jay Fair led in receptions. And, you know, they went out and they got a guy who led Penn State in both and had better numbers than both of those guys, right? So we're going to take a look at the numbers here in a second. But, you know, I think that experience is something that Hugh Freeze was worried about in this, what I will call a bridge year to 2025. Now, we've told you guys repeatedly, this staff feels like they're not going to have what they need to run their system until 2025, like fully. So you've got to get through this year, which means getting some experience in, getting some guys who can hit the ground running, and maybe taking some of the pressure off of your high profile freshman for this first year, right? I think that that's important. Everybody's going to expect a lot of Cam Coleman, but Perry Thompson missed the spring, guys. So yeah, I think the last thing you want to do is throw him out there while he's kind of swimming. We heard about this with Cam Coleman early in spring camp, Caesar, with him just not, like, you know, taking some time to process all the information that's getting thrown at him. Fortunately, he's a guy that just go out there and play. So, you know, I think that Keandre Lambert-Smith helps them fill that kind of experience gap.
And I think he talked about, and it seems like he's bought into what is being expected of him. He mentioned being a pro and wanting to teach the younger receivers how to be a vet or be a pro at this level. And so it seems like he's bought into what you're saying, being a bridge to the younger receiver core. It seems like he understands what the coaching staff wants him to do, which makes this even more of a good transition in terms of our wide receiver.
Leadership is important at every level, and having guys who have experience, sometimes experience is a key, you know, factor to leadership. And he's got that. He's got experience on the field. So again, you have a very young wide receiver core that's coming in: Bryce Kane, Malcolm Simmons, Cam Coleman, you know, Perry Thompson. There's going to be a lot expected of these guys. And don't forget my guy Dylan Gentry. I'll give my guy Dylan some love. Cam Coleman might be the best, but Dylan might be the most famous right now. And so it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see how they play it in this year. Now, there was a belief about Peyton Thorne that they didn't know how good he could be here because they needed to upgrade the talent around him. Well, seemingly you've done that. So we'll see how that goes.
For sure. For sure. More on Keandre Lambert-Smith, 6'1", 182 pounds. This guy was pretty much, he was, as you mentioned, Penn State's leading receiver. But mm-hmm. when I look at some of kind of the highlights, didn't really get a chance to really watch film. I can do that for us. But I saw Penn State utilize him at different spots. He played the X, Y, and Z at times, Mike. So he can play the outside, but he can also play the slot receiver. He caught a lot of short passes, and we're going to show some stats that show his yards after catch. But he caught a lot of passes, 10 yards or so, and he made plays after. So he's kind of a shifty guy, and so he's kind of a guy who they can line up opposite of Cam Coleman, or he can play in the slot as well. So if they go three wide receivers. So he's a guy who appears to be really versatile and is a veteran and much needed in the wide receiver room. Let's look at some of his stats for last year with Penn State. They are as follows. Last year, Keandre had 85 targets with a total of 53 catches. He had a total of 673 yards with 336 yards after catch. In the slot, he took 120 snaps. Wide, he took 235 snaps. For the season, he had 5 drops total, and yards per catch averaged about 12.7. Again, they did a lot of dink and dunk in this offense, and he was pretty much the receiver they were dinking and dunking to, evidenced by his yards per catch there. Mike, your thoughts about the stats as you see this type of production? Clearly, Auburn could have stood to use that type of production last year in the wide receiver corps. This is what's coming to Auburn in the fall in 2024. Your thoughts?
Look, 85 targets, Caesar, would have been good for like 9th in the SEC in terms of targets. Now, I think targets are an important number here, because if you don't, like, the number that we're looking at, like 85 targets, right? Auburn didn't have a receiver with more than 50 targets last year. I'll say that again. No receiver had more than 50 targets. So if you want to see that yardage number go up, volume has to go up. Hugh Freeze has to put the air back into football in 2024. You can't have a quarterback who's dead last in the conference in pass attempts and expect these receivers to get numbers. Now, unless your QB is going to be an 80% passer. If he's going to be an 80% completion percentage guy, okay, like maybe. But, I mean, this is, you know, presumably maybe with this upgrade in talent, what we think is an upgrade in talent around Peyton Thorne, they may maybe let him sling the ball a little bit more. Now, at Michigan State, we know that they let him pass the ball 30-plus times a game. There were times at Auburn last year where he didn't get 20 pass attempts a game. So you can't take away 33% of his throws and then expect stellar numbers in the pass game. That's not who this quarterback has been. He needs volume. Look, you're going to have passes batted down in this league. You're going to have income. You're going to have drops. It's going to happen, right? You have to be able to throw the ball in volume. And a receiver like Lambert Smith, he needs his targets, man. He needs his targets. We'll take a look at like where they rank in the SEC. Like where his numbers would have ranked in the SEC a little later.
And so to your point, Mike, it seems as though Hugh Freeze is working towards more volume in terms of pass attempts, because obviously there's been changes in the staff. You brought Derek Nix over from Ole Miss. It's been rumored that Hugh Freeze is going to take over play calling. So there are steps that are being made towards Auburn throwing and airing the ball out a little bit more in 2024. So you have to think that while he may not get 85 targets next year, we should see an increase overall in terms of the receivers that Auburn currently has on the roster.
Yeah, I think that Volume's going to go up. Flat out, volume's going to have to go up. If it doesn't go up, you're in for a long year.
Right.
You're in for a really long year. So, you know, you're paying Thorne also, but this is your last year playing college football. You got to put the air back in the football. You have to. If this is, you know, if Peyton Thorne wants to play at the next level, he's got to show that he can throw the football. So trust me, he wants this. And, you know, we sat down with him again. I mentioned if you have missed that mixed segment that we did with Peyton Thorne, he expects to throw the football more this year. So this is just another step in the coaches having faith in the passing game. Because I think their options at quarterback were limited. So going out and getting, you know, another quarterback, they looked at it this offseason, but Hugh Freeze was pretty clear that he felt like they weren't going to go after a quarterback. Matt Rhule told us, if you don't have $1 million, you can't even touch a top portal QB. You know, and I don't think that Auburn had that kind of QB money this offseason. They got money, but it wasn't going to be QB money. So he decided to stick with Peyton Thorne unless, you know, it would have taken an otherworldly prospect for them to move off of that. And when we said this, Caesar, people were up in arms. There's no way we can go into the season with Peyton Thorne as our quarterback after last year. And I said, guys, I don't know what to tell you. Get used to it. It's happening.
Yeah.
That's what they're going to do. That's what they've done. And so, you know, score well, one for the good guys again.
I'm reminded of something that you said during the SEC tournament. When Auburn won the SEC tournament in basketball and you saw Hugh Freeze on the court, he said something specific to you in terms of how he wants to move the program forward. And he talked about the importance of high school, right? So where I think this coaching staff has done a good job, it remains to be seen how good of a job they will have done in the portal. It seems like they've done a really good job in year two in identifying the guys, the right fit as it pertains to their needs. But I think that when it comes to QB, Hugh Freeze is very specific about how he wants to handle his room. And he has admitted to you offline about the importance of high school.
Yeah, well, he said, I need two more recruiting classes. I said, Coach, when are we going to be celebrating your SEC championship? And he looked me dead in my eye and said, I need two more recruiting classes, Mike. He said, the portal is not the way to build long-term success in this league. Got to do it from high school. I need two more classes. So when I hear I need two more classes, I hear that he doesn't think this roster is close to what it needs to be to compete. So when I told people ceiling 7-5 next year, everybody got up in arms about the statement. I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. I'm listening to what the coach is saying about his roster. And I'm telling you, if I'm taking him at his word, 7-5. Right? So it'll be interesting to see. I still think they can move the program forward at 7-5 as long as statistically, you know, things are trending up. So you are putting the air back in the football. Cam Coleman looks like he's on the way to being one of the best receivers ever in Auburn history. Okay. I think you can deal with, you can still create a lot of hope out of that scenario. You can, believe it or not, because the teams you're playing are going to have a lot to do with your record as well, too.
Right.
Auburn may be getting better, but guys, everybody's getting better, trying to get better in the offseason. They should start 4-0, and that stretch that starts with Oklahoma and ends with Missouri will tell the tale of this season. So we'll see how it looks statistically from a wide receiver standpoint during that stretch.
Well, let's get back to Keandre, and let's look at where he caught passes on the field last year for Penn State. Let's take a look at this, Mike. So we see, and this is courtesy of Pro Football Focus. This is kind of like a receiving depth graph that shows where on the field that he caught passes, whether it's behind the line of scrimmage or whether it was anywhere from the line of scrimmage to 10 yards out, 10 to 20, 20 and beyond. Not a lot of targets beyond 20 yards, Mike.
Yeah,
so a lot of his work was done in kind of like the intermediate type short routes, it seems. Again, they dinked and dunked a lot with him last year. And so we see where he was used effectively, caught a lot of passes over the middle of the field, actually. So your thoughts about him and his appears to be between 10 and 20 yards is where he got a good bit of work there, especially from 0 to 10. Your thoughts on how you think Hugh Freeze may use this guy based off of what we're seeing right here. What are your thoughts here?
So, yeah, I just want to make a point here, and I'm going to go back to this other graphic. On this graphic, we added slot and, you know, where they played him 120 snaps at the slot, and then he paid 235 snaps at the wideout. That's what that is, guys. So going back here, right, like, you know, when you're catching the ball over the middle of the field, I'm looking at this, I'm like, are those slants? You know, like, you know, where is he catching the ball? And this is why you guys need to sign up as patrons, because Ike's going to go over the tape and break this down, right? You know, where are you doing quick slants over the middle of the field with your wide receivers? You know, he caught 16. I mean, that was his largest target and catch zone. 0 to 10 yards right over the middle of the field. So Auburn presumably is going to be running a lot of 12 personnel. For everybody that's watching, if you don't know what 12 personnel is, that's two wideouts, two tight ends, one running back. You got two wide receivers on the field, two tight ends on the field, one running back. And they did that a lot over the last half of last season, which is why we saw Jay Fair, you know, targets fall off a cliff. They went to 12 personnel, and there's no slot receiver on the field in 12 personnel. Right. So it's just interesting to see what they're going to do, because, again, if you're playing 12 personnel, presumably right now you've got Cam Coleman and DeAndre Lambert Smith on the field. No way this guy sits. There's no way he's giving, you know, the rest of his time in college football to sit.
I think he's definitely your receiver that you're starting opposite of Cam.
Cam Coleman.
If they do go three wide receiver, I do expect Robert Lewis to be the slot guy.
Now, you know, we heard some things about some other guys this offseason that were having a good offseason. You know, we know Cam Brown had a really good camp. You know, we heard some great things about Robert Lewis, who's probably more of a natural slot receiver. So your number one slot just left. They tried Sam Jackson at slot. Everybody was like, oh, Sam Jackson. I tried to tell people. I don't think so. Now you picked up DeAndre Lambert Smith, right? Is Sam Jackson beating out Robert Lewis for the slot spot? I think not. This forces him even down further. You know what I mean? If you ask me. Because a lot, if you talk to a lot of folks, they had Sam Jackson at number one in the slot. I think that you this pickup, because this guy is definitely a wideout, it's going to shift that depth chart just a little bit, and you've got to get the best guys on the field. Robert Lewis is a better receiver than Sam Jackson by a long shot, and I think they'll find a way to get an experienced receiver with quickness and hands like Robert Lewis on the field. So they're going to play with these lineups here. I'm interested to see what Marcus Davis is going to recommend to Hugh Freeze that they put together, but Cam Coleman is going to be, he's the guy that, you know, when talking to Peyton Thorne, you ask, hey, Peyton, how awesome it is to have a guy that you can go up and just throw the ball to. Peyton said when he was playing with Keon Coleman, you know, those 50-50 balls, Keon would tell him, not 50-50. When the ball's in the air and I'm on the field, it's 80-20. All right? Cam Coleman is an 80-20 guy. You throw it up, 80% chance he catches it, 20% chance is incomplete. And if you expect that, you get another guy who's maybe Lambert Smith is like a 70-30 guy. You're going to see a lot of balls thrown up to those guys. Right? And so if they go into any set that has a slot on the field, right, I would expect to see Robert Lewis maybe next up in this thing. It's going to be really interesting to see how they play with the lineups. But to me, Lambert Smith, you know, not in this order, but, you know, Lambert Smith, Cam Coleman, you know, Robert Lewis. I think those guys have a chance to be the starting three wide receivers.
That's your top three
wide receivers right there. Make no mistake. And then, you know, you've got Cam Brown coming up, you know, right behind those guys as in also a guy who's got experience and he's got the height. And, you know, if he can create separation now and, you know, he's improved his hands, I think that he sees time as they rotate receivers because they don't have a lot of depth right now.
Well, let's get to some of you guys' comments. Zachary Bowman says, I think this wide receiver pickup is huge for the freshmen. Another veteran guy coming in that room should take a lot of pressure off of them and they can just go ball out rather than carry the team.
Yeah.
Comment there. I agree with you, Zach.
I agree.
Haley gifted 5 Warpore memberships. Thank you, madam. Thank you.
Haley, congratulations.
Congrats in order for you.
Yeah. I think she got engaged.
Wifed up there.
She gave up, Caesar. She gave up.
Hanging a jersey in the rafters.
You quitter. congrats, Haley.
Prince Chuku says Peyton Thorne has 0 excuses this year.
Yes, they certainly shrink. But I think
a lot of people have 0 excuses this year.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's not just Peyton. But yeah. I'll say this. Man, at the risk of sounding like a Peyton Thorne apologist, I still think the system has a lot to do with how this pans out for a lot of guys. Peyton Thorne at the top of the list. They've got to be willing to just let him make his mistakes and be who he is and throw the football. That's it. You know, every Michigan State friend I had said, you know what? Peyton Thorne's going to make some plays that just make you jump and shout hallelujah. And some other plays that are going to be like, But he's been like that his whole career, a 60-something percent passer. Now, does he make the jump? Maybe with some better receivers? Who knows? I think that it's possible that he makes the jump from a 60% passer to a high 60. If he does, Auburn's. I'll take that 7-5 ceiling comment, and I will throw it in the shredder. If Peyton Thorne is going to be like a 67-69% completion percentage guy, Auburn's going to win 10 games.
Yeah, Auburn's.
Auburn's going to win 10 games. I'm telling you. And that's given. That's under the assumption that the defense holds serve, and we'll see there. You know, we'll talk about that in some other shows, and some other things are equal. But if the system is better, like they're telling us it is, they've switched all the way over to Hugh Freeze's terminology. I don't know why they weren't doing that from the beginning. It just didn't make sense to me.
Well, you knew why. I mean, it's true what we were told that Hugh Freeze was hands off and the previous OC was handling things. Then you can understand how we got there.
Yeah. So we'll see. Like I said, but 0 excuses for a lot of guys this year. Not just Peyton. It's not just Peyton.
Coaching staff included. Chris O's gifted a Warpore membership. Thank you, sir. Yes. And he came back
keep
and
doing that.
Another Warpore
keep doing
membership.
That. More of that, yes. Please.
Yes. Bo Hunter with the Super Chat. Appreciate you. Says receivers creating space plus getting the ball on time plus less drops plus Peyton Thorne with more attempts. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of math. It's a lot of addition there, Bo Hunter.
Yeah.
Equals more wins 9-10 this year.
I have to agree.
That math works.
If all this stuff happens,
yeah.
You add it all together. Yeah, 9-10 wins. You got 8 home games. You have 8. Now your road games suck. Right? Your road games are terrible. You got to go on the road to play Georgia. You got to go on the road to play Alabama. And I think you got to go on the road to play Missouri. So you got 3 top AP top 10 teams. At the end of last season, that you got to go on the road and you have to play all of them. Okay? And right now, I see LLL right now, but you know, we'll see how the season comes along and if they can inject some hope in that.
Drift Lab became a member of the Warpore fam. Welcome.
Thank you, sir.
Philip King asked, does this cause other receivers to hit the portal? Now, we have discussed other receivers. I did an episode on the Morning Drop maybe about a couple of weeks ago or a week ago or so. Where he talked about who he thought could hit the portal. He mentioned Coy Moore, and he mentioned Caleb Burton, I think.
Mm-hmm.
He mentioned those two. This was before we picked up this receiver. So if we do lose any more receivers, I'm not sure if it's because of this, but what are your thoughts, Mike?
I don't think that this is going to be. I think the guys who are going to hit the portal that you see after this were already. I know the guys that are going to hit the portal after this. They were already planning on getting in the portal. This doesn't change the math for anybody that's in that room right now. Right. Trust me. Like
whatever
I know
happens, it was going to happen.
Yeah, that's good. It's going to be a narrative that's come out like, oh, well, they just left because they saw the writing on the wall. Like, look, no, guys, I promise you they saw the writing on the wall well before they signed Lambert Smith. All right. Like, whatever writing was there, you're going to see some guys. Like, and we have said, we said it on social media. We said it on our show. After Jay Fair hit the portal, we're trying to tell fans, you should expect more of this between now and the deadline to enter the portal, which is the end of the month. So they got like 7 more days getting in the portal. May 1st by midnight, I think.
We are going to discuss this room more in depth and in terms of what we can expect in the fall from a competition standpoint. Take a look at the room and just kind of see what we can expect in the summer and the fall for fall camp. You are watching the Midweek Report. Let's pause to acknowledge our sponsor.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Let's get into it and let's take a look, Mike, at the room in totality. Mike, Auburn's going to have a new leading receiver this season because last year's leading receiver hit the portal. So this has been a complete overhaul in terms of Auburn's receivers, which means the production will come from newcomers. And it's weird to see what we have coming back from this room. It has been a complete overhaul, Mike. The guy that I actually expect to contribute and offer some production from the left side of the returning side is Camden Brown. I expect one or both Coy Moore or Caleb Burton to transfer out in the portal at some point. They may surprise us and hang around, but that's kind of where we're leaning. But you see Bryce Kane, Cam Coleman, Robert Lewis, Sam Jackson, Keandre Lambert-Smith, who we've been discussing, Perry Thompson and Malcolm Simmons enroll next month. Mike, we already know what we expect of Cam Coleman, Keandre Lambert-Smith, Robert Lewis, we already named is the next three. Perry Thompson obviously is wide receiver number four in your opinion, or who do you expect to be the guy to step up as the fourth receiver in this match? Are you expecting to be Cam Brown? Who's number four?
All right. So again, we're assuming Cam Coleman, Robert Lewis, and Keandre Lambert Smith, right?
Yes.
Honestly, I'm going Cam Brown. Right now, I'm going Cam Brown. Okay. He had a fantastic spring camp. He did. My understanding is he did everything that was asked of him, showed great improvement, and they seem to be leaning experience right now, right? Cam Coleman is so talented, the experience conversation, it's not even a discussion with him, right? It's just, you just put him out there. And even if he's taking some time to catch up on some, he's so talented at just tracking the ball in the air and making plays, you got to have him on the field. I'm not, you know, and we'll see if Perry Thompson ends up being that kind of guy because he's got the size and speed as well. He's very physical. He's strong, probably significantly stronger than Cam Coleman, honestly. But he's a solid receiver. Like, Perry Thompson is a solid receiver. It's just going to be about how quickly he picks things up at camp. Now, if you ask me, the hope that I'm giving Perry is that Hugh Freeze seems to favor the guys that he brought in. So I don't have a lot of hope for the dudes who were left over here. I don't, right? And you know, Jay Fair leaving kind of cemented that for me.
If you're saying that, Mike, then it's hard to buy a lot of stock in Cam Brown, right? He's a Harsin guy.
Yeah. It's a little different with Cam Brown though, the way they treated him through camp.
Okay.
All right. I've got a little bit of a different feeling with Cam Brown and some of the other guys who were, you know, left over from the Harsin era. But, you know, Cam's got a chance, I think, to step in as a guy with experience. I think he'll get first shot. Now, look, it may not be a long, like, chance that he gets, but I think they'll give him a chance to go out there and prove he can make plays and do some of the things that he's showing in practice. That's what makes Cam Brown so hard, right? In practice, he's killing it. One-handed catches, he's mossing guys in practice. It's tough. Whatever. I think a lot of his struggles last year were mental, because he's got all the physical capabilities and attributes that you want in a receiver to go out there and make plays. He just didn't. Now, I think a more fluid passing game means a more fluid Cam Brown. A lot of his play to me was symptomatic of what the passing game looked like last year. I mean, again, they didn't throw the ball a ton. There weren't a ton of targets, and it was all out of sync most of the time. I'll say this. A source told me that the coaches were arguing about plays over the headset. Caesar was an absolute mess. If you're doubting that story, just remind yourself that they fired the offensive coordinator. There was a lot of dissent on that staff about what to do, and that's why you heard every time Free says, I was a little bit more involved, and then it suddenly went better, fans are like, hey, bro, maybe stay involved. Because when you are saying you're not in the equation, it's not going well, and that might be why. So if you remove that chaos from this scenario, I think a better passing game means more production for all the players.
Yeah.
Right. If the coaches are confused, imagine what the players felt like. Imagine what the player feels like in that when you're hearing them chaos them. And all we see is, well, he went out there and he didn't do what he was supposed to do. It's a lot of stuff that goes into this. And, you know, I'll never say who tells me what, because that's just not how we move here. But you guys see us doing the interviews with the players, right? Like, and you must know that the stuff said on camera is not all the things that they tell us. So we know, we have a pretty good idea of what's going on there. And I just think that the hope that's coming out of that locker room right now is centered around the idea that they fixed it. But, you know, there was a lot of chaos behind the scenes. And I think that Hugh Freeze saw that and he was like, oh, I got to get this together for a year or two. And he's done that. And as a result, you might see a player like Cam Brown look like a completely different player in year two.
What have you heard about him that's different this year? Or what have you observed in him that's different this spring or offseason?
Yeah, it's about the way that he's absorbing the information and understanding what he's supposed to be doing. Look, they went back to Hugh Freeze's terminology. They went back a lot. You know, what I've heard consistently from the players is it's a lot easier to understand what they're supposed to be doing. Some of what they were doing was unnecessarily complicated last year. I believe Peyton said that to me on camera about the system. So again, if you haven't watched it, go back and watch the mix. Hey, Thorne talks about it pretty openly. Hey, we've gone back to Coach Freeze's terminology, and it's definitely smoother. You know, Peyton's a high IQ guy, football IQ guy. So when he says that, I believe him. I'm just like, okay, if you're telling me now, as somebody who is, it's his job to know what everybody's job is as a quarterback. So if he feels that, imagine how the other guys might feel about how much easier it is to go out there and perform and execute. System has a lot to, what you're asking the players to go out and do has a lot to do with the results of what you get. I do not buy into the whole, if you just execute the plan at a high level, it will be successful. No, because there's some guy out there on the other side of the field trying to stop you from executing. And if you have a bad plan, you can execute a bad plan and it can end up in disaster. So I think that there will be a lot less disaster on the field this year because there'll be more of a focus on doing things the way Hugh Freeze wants them done. There will be less dissent about how to accomplish that. And you're going to see a better result. That's it. That's how it's, and Cam Brown benefits from that.
Who's receiver five?
Receiver five. Okay, let's go. We're going back to the list. Hear me out. It's hard not to defer to the wideout guys. I think they still are going to go get one more receiver in this portal. Because, I mean, look, guys, what we're looking at right now with returning and incoming, I'm telling you, there are two, at least three more names that are going to enter the portal. Two, maybe three, that'll probably be gone. And so right now, you've got what, Caesar? You've got ten scholarship receivers. I think that they go into the season with 10 scholarship receivers.
So, in other words, if you lose two, you're getting two.
Correct. Yeah.
You're pretty much replacing.
Yeah. 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 Quite honestly, I think receiver number five is Perry Thompson. Okay. Top 30 overall in the country prospect. Hugh Freeze has the unenviable task of putting something together that will hold these guys here until next year. Because you got to remember, the portal's a beast.
Right.
Right? Like, you know, Deion looks like he's got reverse Benjamin Button disease from the portal. I don't know if you saw a picture of him. Like, man, he's aged. Man, and it's like, also, he was gray everywhere. He went in with no grays at the job. And they're losing five-star prospects left and right to the portal because players have the autonomy now to go find some place that fits their staff. And suddenly, the gimmicks aren't working anymore. And you don't have the NIL pockets of some of these other schools at Colorado.
Right.
So where does that leave you? It leaves you having to re-recruit a large portion of your roster every year. So, look, man, we might see Hugh Freeze age here quite a bit. I wouldn't be surprised if he's had at least two or three conversations today with players about entering the portal or not entering the portal. That's going to be his whole day until May 1st.
Yeah. But again, that to me, that doesn't surprise me, Mike, because he had the most portal additions of any coach or school last year. So it doesn't surprise me that there's a lot of attrition as a result of the guys that he brought in.
Right. To your point about, that's why I think Perry Thompson is it, right? I think that he is next man up because you got to keep Perry Thompson happy.
Yeah.
You have to keep him happy. And there's got to be a clear, defined path to playing time for him. You know, how do I say this? Okay, so you know how I know they like Jeremiah Cobb? In spite of there being a million running backs seemingly all, you know, playing throughout the year between Hunter and Damari and Batty, they found ways to get Cobb carries. They let him feel what it was like to play under the lights. He was a guy they recruited that they wanted, and they found a time for him last year. I expect Perry Thompson to get the same treatment. They will find ways to work him into the game plan because it's a hard sell to kids to sit for a whole year and then promise them that they're going to be the next up. You know, former Auburn quarterback Chris Todd told us this in one of the first interviews he ever did with us when we were a young channel. He said he had a conversation with former Heisman winner Jason White from Oklahoma. Jason told him, he says, it doesn't matter if you won the Heisman. They're always trying to bring somebody in that's better than you. So you can't afford to sit there thinking, I'm next. Because the next Cam Coleman might be being recruited. And if you haven't done the work or you sat there thinking, oh, it's just be my turn up because I was here first. No, that guy can come in and take your job.
Well, Cunningham has locked in an official visit this summer with Auburn. So,
yeah, I'm telling you, like, if you're Perry Thompson, I don't care about these portal wide receivers are coming in. You're not selling me to sit for a whole year and just be patient. No, I want on the field now. because I believe in me, and I know that you're going to go out and try to get somebody who's better than me in the next cycle.
So what it means, Mike, is what I'm hearing is that Perry Thompson, as the season progresses, needs to be at least the number four wide receiver.
Yeah, he better move up the chart. And now a lot of that will have to do with him. Now, obviously, he's got to know his assignment. He's got to be able to do the things that they're asking him to do. He's got to be where Peyton expects him to be. He has to be a reliable guy. Yeah. I'll be interested to talk with Peyton after camp, after he's had a chance to throw to Perry Thompson this summer. Now, I saw, you know, Peyton's like third day on campus last year. I saw him doing a private workout with Jay Fair and Damari Alston, and Cam Brown was there. And who was the fourth guy? I forgot who the fourth guy was. But, like, he came to campus, Peyton did, and he got straight to work trying to develop some rapport with his receivers. Admirable work, right? The Lord's work. It's the stuff that has to be done. I expect him to do the same thing this summer with Perry Thompson. As soon as Perry Thompson hits campus, Peyton Thorne is probably going to be sitting on his bed in his dorm room. Welcome to Auburn. Let's go throw. When he gets here. Like, I don't know how else to say it, man. They're going to get straight to work, and he's going to try to see if Perry Thompson can be a Cam Coleman type this year. And if he shows that playmaking ability to Peyton, he's going to be in Freeze's face begging to get him on the field, because it's the SEC. And if I'm Peyton and I'm under duress and I know I have to throw the ball up and make a play, I want as many guys like Cam Coleman on the field as possible to help make plays for me. Go back to A-Day. That touchdown to Cam Coleman was underthrown. And I mean, it was well underthrown. I can't say that if that were an SEC DB out there, that might not have been picked if the DB had got his head around. But in this case, the DB didn't. And even though the DB didn't defend it well, the catch was still pretty amazing.
Right.
Running down the field, full speed down the field, the way Cam Coleman was, to be able to stop your momentum and catch that ball the way he did, then stay on his feet and get the end zone. If Perry Thompson is that, it shows to be that kind of dude early, like Cam Coleman is, he's going to see the field. You're not going to be able to keep him off the field, right? Because sometimes you just need guys who can go up and catch it. And Hugh Freeze has repeatedly talked about catch radius, Caesar. He says, we need guys with catch radius in this league. You know, and so while, you know, I don't think they wanted to see Jay Fair go, you know, Jay is a guy who can catch the ball, but does he have the catch radius Hugh Freeze is looking for? I'm not sure.
Well, no, he doesn't. But I think Ike made a good point. Because of your personnel, it kind of lends itself to 12 personnel.
Right. Right.
To where you're going to have more tight ends, more running backs on the field, or more tight ends on the field than you would have receivers on the field. So I think because of that, Jay Fair plays better in the slot. There's no opportunities, right?
Right.
And again, as we alluded, has nothing to do with his talent. It's just kind of where Auburn is currently at this point in Hugh Freeze's tenure in terms of roster overload, overhaul. It's going to be interesting to see what happens to this room as we go further into the offseason. Do more wide receivers leave as some of us expect to? Does Auburn get more receivers? And if so, who is left in the portal? I'm not sure. I'm not familiar with any. I know there's a receiver people have mentioned from Houston. I don't know if he's committed anywhere. I think his last name is Brown as well. But I'm curious to see who Auburn targets, assuming more wide receivers leave.
Well, Caesar, let's put some context around this discussion. I want to go back to Lambert Smith, right? Again, we put this together here. 85 targets, 53 catches, 673 yards, right? He had 336 yards after the catch. So, you know, more than half or about half of his yards were after he caught the ball. So he does well after that. He played 120 snaps at the slot, 235 snaps at wideout. He had 5 drops and 12.7 yards per catch, right? So what I want to take a look at here is, let me see if I can do this. Where are you? Boom. Okay, so this is the SEC. This was wide receivers in the SEC last year, right? So up here, you had Malik Nabers, who had 128 ridiculous targets. Now, you know, Jay Daniels slung the ball around, not as much as you would have thought, but because he was a 70-plus percentage completion guy, you know, they ate in that system, right? So you had LSU had two receivers in the top five of the conference in targets, right? Brian Thomas Jr. had 87 targets. So look at this here, right? Lambert Smith would have been somewhere in here in the top 10, only two targets off being fifth with 85 targets. And Auburn, if you go to find an Auburn receiver on this list, you got to go way down here to 29. Jay Fair at 29, 45 targets. That's crazy. Other SEC schools have got four or five guys in the top, you know what I mean? Before you get to Auburn's first receiver in target. This is how hard it was for the receiver. I'm trying to explain to people how low volume was last year. Oh, the receivers suck. Okay, but they didn't get the ball thrown at them hardly ever. The whole thing was out of whack. Now, you can argue maybe they didn't get the ball because they couldn't create separation. I'm calling bull on that one, too. There was a 61-39 run-to-pass ratio.
Well, I mean, and even in Ike's film review, we saw wide receivers running open on film. So
yeah, the system took the air out of the football. The other thing that I want to point out here, when you go to receptions, right? So if we organize this by receptions, 53 receptions would have been around 11th, tied for 11th in the league and receptions. Now, what do you got to do? We know Jay was also Auburn's leader in receptions way down here at 30. Having a guy up here is definitely going to be worth, to me, a win or two, given to how close some of those games were.
Can we pull up real quick, Mike? Do you have any more points to make about this stat?
Then yards, right? 673 yards still would have been good for, you know, 15th on this list, right? You know, now you're talking about yards. You got to go way down here to 37, Javaris Johnson. This is just wide receivers, guys. We didn't include tight ends in this metric because Deontay Lambert is a wide receiver. So we're talking about how the receivers perform. Like, wow. Again, low volume, so low yardage, right? And low reception totals. Just didn't throw the ball a whole lot.
I want to pull up DeAndre Lambert's stats again, Mike, and I want to make a point real quick.
Okay. Yep.
So what I want to point out here is, let's look at yards after catch. He had 336 yards after catch. Obviously, when receivers get time to make plays after they catch, what you're talking about there, Mike, is an accurate ball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? So not only are you talking about more volume in terms of passes, but you're talking about accurate balls that's going to give guys like Keandre Lambert Smith opportunity to make plays after the catch, right? You don't want to see plays where they're falling down, making a catch, or they got to sacrifice their body to make a catch. You want to see them catch the ball in stride. Basically, perfect timed routes, timing on your throws, hitting the guys in stride, giving them the opportunity to work. So in addition to more volume of passes, obviously not every ball is going to be accurate, but you want to make sure you're getting the ball to the players where they can make plays upfield so that this offense can become explosive. Your thoughts there?
Yeah, look, this takes me back to some previous shows that we had a couple years ago when we talk about ball placement, right? Ball placement is the difference between like a good pass and a great pass, right? A good pass will get there and it'll give the receiver a chance to make, you know, to make the catch. A great pass is a pass that gets there and it gives the receiver a chance to make a play, right? I'll say that again for the people in the back. A good versus a great pass is the difference between making a catch or making a play. Right, and the ball is accurate, you get a chance to make a play because you're expected to make the catch. What I want as a receiver is a chance to make a play, score a touchdown, catch the ball, juke my guy, get upfield, score a touchdown, dance with the cheerleaders. That's the goal. Every time they touch the ball. And if you don't have to expend all your athleticism, Caesar, trying to just make the catch, you can make plays. So, you know, copyright that one, you know, patent it, do what you got to do, baby. Auburn needs to make, not just make catches in 2024, they need to make plays.
Right.
They need to make plays. And I think that they can do that if you have a system that gives your quarterback some better reads, and you can scheme some guys open so that he can throw the ball comfortably. Obviously, the offensive line is going to have to block and give him the time to find guys. But when it's not there, you need a system and a QB that can get the ball out quickly to the right guy at the right time in the right place and let all this talent that you recruited make a play for you. One of the things that both the quarterbacks talked about is during these mixed segments is big plays. Right? Explosive plays. They want more explosive plays in 2024. Well, you know what you need to make an explosive play in the pass game? Exactly what you just said, accuracy. Accurate passes make explosive plays. It's the difference between again, a guy catching a deep ball and falling to the ground. How many times have we seen it? Versus an accurate ball where it's caught in stride and he's in the end zone. How many times in all the years you guys have been watching college football, how many times did you see a good pass made into a great catch, but that was it. But there was no play made after. And then the drive stalls out. So instead of scoring a touchdown, you stalled in the red zone and you got a field goal. High scoring offenses don't miss those types of opportunities. They just don't. Auburn, in all the history of the program, has never really done that consistently through the air. The closest was when Jarrett Stidham was here. He was Auburn's most prolific single-season passer. There are no 2,000-3,000-yard passers in the whole history of the program. That's going to limit the ceiling of your wide receivers. So it's got to be a thing where today's college football is going a direction where you got to put the air in the football, baby. You got to get the ball downfield. You got to be able to press them because guys are too quick and too fast and too big and too smart and way too athletic for you to dink and dunk people to death without proving that you can hit them over the top. It's going to catch up with you eventually. If you are no threat to make a big play in today's college football, baby, you're no threat.
I mean, it's no different than just running the ball.
Yeah.
They're just going to squat on the routes, play up close, and dare you to throw, beat them deep.
Eventually, they'll make a play. Yeah. You know, this is a different sport. But did you see the clip of Caitlin Clark waving off South Carolina's Raven Johnson?
Yeah.
Right? She's no threat to shoot. I'm not even guarding it. So disrespectful. I love it, though. I love it. I love that attitude. Like, yeah, she's just like, and you know what I love even more was Raven Johnson took that personally. And she came back and she was like, all right, bet. You think I forgot about that disrespect? Two ultimate competitors kind of going at it. But like in any sport, when you're no threat to do something, right? It's like 4 or 5 on the basketball court. It's like playing 5-on-4.
Right.
You can't shoot. We saw that in Auburn's on the women's side in their first tournament game. They locked up Honesty Scott Grayson and they dared Marshawn to shoot the ball. And unfortunately, that wasn't really part of her game last year. You know what she's been doing all offseason? Shooting the ball. Every time I go by that gym, she's shooting a million jump shots because she knows teams are going to dare her to shoot it and she's got to be able to hit it. Teams are going to dare Auburn to throw the ball down the field and prove it. They're going to take away what you do best, and they're going to be like, we want to see Peyton Thorne beat us.
With his arm.
With his arm. That's it. Because if he breaks a big run here and there, they'll stomach that. They don't, because you're not going to beat them doing that. You might score. You might have a lucky drive, or you might have this. And I think Peyton knows this too. He doesn't want to be a runner, man. He wants to be a thrower. That's what he is. He's a quarterback. He said it directly to me. He's looking forward to not having to run. He had 135 rush attempts last year. Yeah. Wild. No way. No way that can happen again in 2024.
Agreed. Agreed. Let's get to some of you guys' comments. God Body Science says four is Perry. So he has Perry Thompson at the four.
Yeah, I think he moves up. I think he moves up.
Sure, for sure. Brad Browning comes in and says Coleman, Lewis, Lambert Smith, or Camden Brown are the top three and four. Jackson, Thompson, or Burton is the fifth, depending on outside slot decisions. Jackson looked pretty good to me at A-Day.
Yeah, what you got to remember is Coleman, Lambert Smith, and Camden Brown are all wideouts. And if they're in 12 personnel, you can only put two of these guys on the field. If I had to pick two right now, I'm picking Coleman and Lambert Smith.
Right.
Right. That's it. And I don't care that Lambert Smith came in after the spring. Right. What did we see at wideout that makes you think that he can't, you know, with all the yards he caught last year, and Drew Aller had a rough season. I mean, I think he was like 59% passer last season, but he had almost 400. So he passed for 2,600 yards last year. And as a result, Lambert Smith still got to eat. I don't think he believes in Aller. Like, all my Penn State friends were so disappointed in Drew Aller. Really disappointed.
He came in with a lot of hype that year.
A lot of hype, yeah. And I bet you they would kill to have Sean Clifford back.
After they dogged him out.
Yeah. Listen, he was a tough guy.
Don't know what you got till it's gone. For the bloggy, there's a hidden overlooked aspect of KLS's game is that he's a plus-plus run blocker. If you go back to the 2022 game versus Penn State, KLS is a receiver who springs Penn State's long TD run in the fourth.
Mm-hmm. So the receivers of old. Yeah. The receivers of old, Caesar, smiling at this comment. Yeah. Darvin Adams and Terrell Zachary were two of the blockingest wide receivers I've ever seen. Yeah. Holy crap, those guys could block, right? And it opens things up on the outside. It opens up your jet sweeps and things of that nature when you can block on the outside.
Colts was pretty good at that.
He was.
Sammy Colts was pretty good at that. Good talk, man. Listen, Auburn has a receiver out of the transfer portal, a big pickup in Keandre Lambert-Smith. Ike Jones probably going to talk a little bit more about this, maybe on Friday.